Blog Talk Radio.
Colorado, and it's
Kind of warm.
Yeah,
I think it's about 88 degrees.
Yeah, 88 degrees. I'm glad I got away from New York. I definitely wanted to get out of the heat, but that's okay. There's enough. The humidity is.
It's a dry heat.
Dry. That's what we
yeah.
Want.
It's
okay. Arid. It's that's arid. Right. Has an arid extra dry.
Right.
I don't know where you are or what time it is where you're listening, but what time is it here? It's like 4 o'clock over here. So, we drank.
We're going to drink some more.
We're going to drink some more, yeah. We're going to be actually opening up some root beer. What was the place you went to?
It was called Palisade Brewery. And they do make beer, but they also make root beer and sarsaparilla and ginger beer.
Ginger
so those
beer.
Are the non-alcoholic. They make alcoholic and non-alcoholic.
Yeah. Well, we already did. What did we? We went to the
Peach Distillers.
Peach Distillers.
Right. Peach,
yeah.
So vodka and brandy.
Yeah.
And gin.
Right. Well, we didn't imbibe much. We tasted just enough.
Well, trying to be responsible.
Yeah, right. After all, I only got drunk on one show. That was when I was in San Mateo. But so that's what we're going to be talking about the area, about Palisade and Grand Junction, because I'm here for the Peach Festival.
Woohoo!
Yes. Peachy Keen.
That's right, Peachy.
And then we have as a matter of fact, did we catch his name? The guy from the distillery.
So yes, Rory.
Rory
and,
from the
Davey is the distiller.
Distiller.
And Rory's the owner.
Yeah. Peach Street Distiller. So Rory. Okay, he's the co-founder. And so we're gonna have him call in. And then also, and I didn't tell you this. This is really funny.
Ooh.
While I was on the plane coming in, this woman sitting next to me, and I said, oh, so, you know, because I always wonder, you know, are you going to Denver, you know, because you live there, or, you know, and it turns out that she's going because she's looking for a job, and I asked her, you know, what kind of a job, what are you into, and it has to do with something with environmental studies, and I said, oh, would you like to come on my radio show and talk? She's going to be calling in later on.
Perfect.
Talk about, and because what I want to discuss is, the what kind of environment, you know, in terms of the whole area, like this particular area, and, you know, what are we doing green-wise, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But before we get to any of that, and you know, I always have to do this, it's commercial time, so I have to break for one of my favorite commercials. Don't drool.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
You like that? I wrote the commercial for them. The brownies, you go to brownies.com, and I was so impressed with the brownies that I said, I have to have a commercial. And I said, and I kept on saying, I need a commercial. I said, forget it, I'll write it. So I wrote it myself. I have never, I'm not a brownie eater, only because, give me chocolate. Don't, you know, don't put it in anything. Don't add cake to it. And, you know, just give me the chocolate. And this is by far the best brownie I've ate. So, you know, and you know where they are? Oh, no, they're in Phoenix. They're located actually in Phoenix.
I wonder if Kevin knows about them.
Oh, I bet he does. And they're at the chocolate festival every year. Anyway, so let's start to talk a little bit about the area. So,
okay.
Everybody at home, listen, or whoever they are listening, is saying, so who the fuck is this woman that's talking?
Well, I have the fortunate, job to be working for the Visitors Bureau. My name is Jennifer Grossheim-Harris, and I've been living in Grand Junction for about 2.5 years, and I'm from the West, so I grew up, and you need a bottle opener, I think. I grew up in New Mexico, but I'm definitely a Southwestern girl. Even though I've lived in Australia and I lived in the South, there's part of me that just belongs in the West. So here I am, 2.5 years into this job gig thing, and what really sold me was all of the recreation in this area. It is a playland for people like, you're really struggling with that, aren't you? The non-drinker cannot open a bottle of root beer.
Well, this is a different topic.
It is a bit funny.
That's not a trick. I'm used to a church okay.
Yeah, the drinker can get it open.
Okay, of course.
So, it's truly a recreational paradise. So, hiking and camping and fishing and snowshoeing and skiing, that I think is what people that live in Colorado really live for. Nice blue, you know, big blue skies. We definitely have four seasons here, so it's great. And the other part that I really loved about when I knew I was going to come work for the Tourism Bureau, we have over 18 wineries. How hard is it to pitch 18 wineries? Because if people are grumpy, you just give them some wine, and then they're really happy.
Wow.
Or like you, just a little tiny shot of
gin
or something. You're a cheap date, Chip.
I know.
She's a cheap date.
So, let's start first with Grand Junction.
Okay.
As to
You flew into Grand Junction.
Right.
We didn't go to
downtown Grand Junction.
No, we had a quick bite to eat.
Right.
Then headed right out to Palisades.
Okay.
So tonight you're going to have dinner in downtown Grand Junction.
Okay. So when we were driving through, we drove through Palisades, downtown Palisades.
Yes, that was downtown Palisades. Okay. And remember, I kind of joked that it was kind of a Mayberry, and I mean that in the best way. It's incredibly charming. The people are so nice. And it's like that little square, you know, it's kind of got a little square feel, and everyone knows everyone, and they make peach pie, and it's homemade, and, you know, everyone knows what pie's coming out of the oven whenever it's, you know, it's great, it's wonderful, it's incredibly charming. It's just under 10,000 people, and then you've got Grand Junction, which is where you all are staying, and there are about 64,000 people that live here, so still small by city standards, still very small, but it is kind of the biggest hub between Salt Lake and Denver, so if that gives you some geography. If you're headed from Denver to Salt Lake, it's the largest city between those two. So really a developed retail market for a town this size.
So
a medical community.
And that's where when they went shopping,
the rest of the group.
Yeah.
Well, we obviously have the mall area with a lot of the chains, the Pier 1, the Kohl's, the Target, the, you know, the JCPenney's. But then we've got this downtown area that we'll be at tonight, so the farmer's market. And that's more of locally owned businesses. So there's some really great boutiques. There's some toffees downtown. There's a independent movie theater downtown. So it and homegrown restaurants. That has a different feel to it than if you were to go to a shopping center. Serpentine-shaped streets, so traffic is slow. It's really designed for you to park your car and get out and walk. A lot of big trees, so it's shaded while you're walking down. They call it kind of a tree-lined shopping park is what they like to refer to it, which I don't know if that gives you a good picture or not. But, yeah, it's nice. It's fun, and, you know, the bike shops are downtown. Plenty of things to take your money out of your wallet.
I'm sure. Now, I'm curious, do they have tax on clothing?
We do have tax on clothing. We do not have tax on food. And we sort of sort of have it on gas because it's kind of worked in there. But food is out. So no tax on food. So it's kind of considered like a basic need.
So just if you can convince somebody that you're going to eat your shorts, then it won't be taxed.
Possibly. Possibly. I've not seen that happen yet, but it could happen. You know, we're kind of, you know, Colorado's or know something a little bit more granola-like.
Yeah.
It could happen.
Okay, you know, you never know with this fiber.
That's right. Well, you know, so a lot of things are made out of hemp now.
Right. So that's
don't
now
know, cotton.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, with hemp now, isn't hemp, you know, isn't there a product from hemp that you're getting?
I don't know my hemp product.
Oh, okay.
I know that it's a hardy material.
Oh, yes,
so
it does. There is something from hemp.
Yeah.
Yes.
We joke about that you can smoke it. I don't know if that's
true. Yeah, but there's actually, it's a grain from hemp, and I just realized that because I there's a restaurant in Manhattan, New York City, Manhattan, called Global Galaxy.
Okay.
And they have all these things, and they use hemp. I don't know. It's not hemp seeds, but it's almost like it's a grain, and they use it to make food with. So I guess I guess you can convince them maybe that on the hemp.
Maybe. Well, now you need to write that down because next time I'm in New York, I'm there about once a year for work. I need to look, you know, and usually in Manhattan, so I'll have to.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll get you to
do my next trip.
You never know.
Yeah. I'll do it in the Sex Museum. That was my last visit when I was there.
Oh, you went to the Sex Museum?
I did. I'm sorry. I was curious. And, you know, living in a small town, when you get to the big city, you think you couldn't do
it. Was it worth it?
You know, I thought it was, actually, just because it's such a rare, you know, such a rare, shocking thing. And, yes, I did. I actually thought it was worth the ticket price. And I don't have to do that every time I go to New York, but it was very entertaining, to say the least, and visually stimulating.
Visually stimulating.
Very interesting.
I see. Oh, come. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, you should see. Have you ever been to Miami Beach?
I have. Yes, I have, but I unfortunately moved with a couple gals that didn't travel much, and they were actually horrified, so we had to leave.
Oh, okay.
I know this sounds crazy, but it was a little over the top for them.
Because
so.
It's actually an erotic museum.
Oh, well.
In Miami Beach. That's the boot.
That it is.
Talk about phallic symbols.
Yeah. Rings coming up.
No, but that's what it is. It's all these erotic. This woman, this nice Jewish woman, and the story was is her son wanted something, or her son was getting married, and he wanted said, "Mom, give me something different, whatever." And by the time she started looking, then she started collecting. All of these erotic things.
So this is her personal collection.
That's how it started. And she gets, and it's an absolute entire museum.
Oh my God.
So that's, but anyway, we spoke to.
Well, we diverged, but yeah.
Yeah, what can you do?
Nothing quite that wild here.
Now, did you taste this one?
I have not tasted that.
This is good.
That's the ginger beer.
I like it. And it would be interesting to test this out if you're on a boat. You know, when you're getting seasick.
Oh, that's right, because ginger's supposed to stop some seasickness.
Yes.
Now, my sister-in-law that gets seasick does not believe that works, but I think anything ginger is good. My thought.
Okay.
I love ginger, so.
Now, I've never tasted huckleberry.
Well, that's your next one. Now, remember, now for the young viewers at home, these are all the non-alcoholic beverages.
Non-alcoholic
beverages.
So, if I get drunk, I'm, you know.
I'm going to find a question.
Yeah.
What's going to be alcohol sickness at that point. That's nice. And I will try the root beer. Can't go wrong with a good root beer.
Oh, that's nice. The huckleberry.
The root beer is good as well.
Root beer is good. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, what I want to see is the difference between the root beer and the sarsaparilla.
Oh, the sarsaparilla. That's right. Yeah, I don't remember liking sarsaparilla. That's a personal choice. It's not that it's bad quality. I just don't like it. Oh, the huckleberry is very nice.
Okay, I had the sarsaparilla.
Okay.
Okay.
Good sound effects. An authentic sound effect.
That's very interesting because the sarsaparilla tastes more root beerish than root beer.
Oh, okay.
That's what I wonder why.
It's
It's like it's a stronger. It's strong. It's just I'm having a stronger root beer.
Yeah, but there, see, there's that licorice
undertone,
and
that you don't like.
That
okay.
I don't usually like. Yeah, I don't like that as well. You're right. It is more of an intense flavor,
yeah.
though, isn't it?
Yeah. These are pretty good.
These are good.
Yeah.
An alternative. I mean, most people come to, you know, where we are because we're known as Colorado's wine country to drink wine. And because we're, you know, in Colorado, brew pubs are very popular. This is a good alternative. It's
yes.
good for the designated driver. It's good for the kids. You know.
Good for what ails you.
Yeah, that's right.
Put a little sugar in your system.
That's right. You don't want to go weak while you're here.
Yes. We don't. Yes.
Don't worry, listeners. We will not let Merle starve to death while she's here. We'll take good care of her.
And you know what is so cool? We were passing these mountains. The mountain range. Now, what are the mountains?
Oh, right. Okay. So there's a mountain range that runs. It starts here and then runs into Utah, and it's called the Book Cliff Mountain Range. And instead of running north to south, like most mountain ranges run or you know geographically go, it runs east to west. Which is why it goes Colorado into Utah. But it's called the Book Cliff. But you've renamed them.
Well, it's not that I renamed them. While we were driving by, I noticed certain little mountains. There was one, and I saw the head of a bear, which is massive.
Yes, yeah.
So we're going to have to call that Bear Mountain.
Okay.
That little, you know. And I could have sworn, absolutely. And this is definite. Jerry Lewis's face.
I know. If I could sell it, we'd sell it on eBay.
We
could cut it up.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll have to point it out. It's definitely now, and obviously, if you're French, you'd probably see it even
absolutely.
Better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
yes.
I'm not French, so I didn't
but,
see it.
Yes.
But I would take Merle's word for it.
Yeah. Well, when we drive by later on, we'll
that's
point
right.
it out.
That's right.
To the rest of the group.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
We're renaming, you know, landmarks here, and
so it's Jerry Lewis Cliff. That's it.
Yes, that's right.
Jerry Lewis Cliff. It wasn't
yes.
a mountain. Yes.
No.
And the Bear Mountain, it was a cliff.
Right.
So it was Bear Cliff. Because we already have a Bear Mountain in New York.
Yeah, we need our own
thing.
Yeah.
So we'll go
we need
Bear
our
Cliff.
Yeah. Bear Cliff, I like. And it really is cliff-like, in fact.
Yeah.
If you were near the edge, it would be risky.
And you said you tried climbing up there?
Yes, there is a very popular local hike that hikes up to this Book Cliff area. And I did. It is the hardest hike that I've done living in Colorado so far. Now, listen, that's not to say I don't do 14ers. That's the big thing here is to climb these 14ers. But I don't do that. And this, because it's so steep, you don't start on anything flat. I mean, you start very, very steep. So it's a very difficult climb. Now, once you get up, it's very leisurely. And it overlooks the valley. And you can see all of the orchards and the, you know, the grape growing for the wineries. And it's very, very picturesque. However, getting up there is not very pleasant, I have to say. When I like to hike, I kind of like to leisurely get into it and walk. I'm not selling you, am I?
But when you wear your heels, you can't do it.
You know, maybe that's what it was. Do you think I could go get away with a 2-inch heel? Because I was wearing 5. 2 maybe? 2
maybe.
And a half.
Well, in the olden days, in the frontiers, when all those women had those long dresses and the hats and the
eyes.
Yeah, didn't they have heels?
I think they had those little heels, but they were pretty big, so maybe they could get traction.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And of course, if they were running through the woods, they always fell.
Of course, over a little twig, because something was chasing them.
And only women.
Only women.
Yes,
yeah,
they always,
they always fall.
That's right.
Running in the woods.
That's right.
Or being chased by someone, they stop and scream. They don't continue to run, they just stop and scream. It's awful. That has changed, though. If you watch movies now, they are getting a bit tougher.
I want to see if a guy stops and screams.
Yeah, well, they wouldn't film him, but it does happen. I've heard men scream.
He would probably stop and expose himself.
That's right.
Instead, you know? That's probably what would probably happen. But Now, I thought somebody was emailing me. Okay, no. No one's emailing me.
Wait, you didn't tell me. Did we get to answer questions as well?
Oh, no. No,
darn it.
No, what question would you like to ask?
Well, no, I don't know. I just thought that'd be interesting if they had some sort of question. I can't even guarantee that I could answer it, but I bluffed my way through it.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? Let's take a quick break for a music break, because one of the things that's going to be happening is I'm going to be seeing Chubby Checker next week. For those of you young uns, Chubby Checker was the one who originated the twist, so you'll probably. Dancing that we just did.
The third Mary
thirsty.
Wow,
I can't believe, you know, while I guess you can't see, you know, the audience can't see, that, you know, while this is playing, we're just moving about here in the office.
It's a good thing, because I've got more food to eat later.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be a little weak, I'm sure.
That's right.
I'm sorry if you have little quick pauses. I'm sipping on the, on the beer, the ginger beers, or the non-beer beers.
Right, they're non-alcoholic beers.
Yeah, right. Or they call them soda. Pop, soda pop.
But they do look like, I mean, they're packaged like a beer, which is sort of the nostalgia and the fun part of that. So you'll double take if you see a little child drinking.
Yeah.
Out of them.
I'm sure. Well, let's go and talk now about this whole thing with this Peach Festival. I'm here for a Peach Festival. You think I'd go to damn Georgia or something like that.
But I can say this with some knowledge. I used to live in Georgia. That is right. Now, I'm not from Georgia, but I used to live in Georgia. They have nothing on the peaches that are from Colorado. They are amazing here. They really are. And all Colorado people know they're amazing here. And so they people will come from the Front Range, which is Denver, which is about 4 hours away, to get peaches from Palisade area. They're amazing. So many years ago, the Peach Festival started. About 40 years ago, the Peach Festival started. And it's grown into this huge event. People come from miles.
Did you want to answer? Is that your cell phone?
Yeah, it is my cell phone. No, I don't want to answer.
Okay.
Sorry. No.
Okay. You could just do that. We
don't know. I know, sorry.
In case you want to be nosy as to who's
No.
All right.
All the more reason. No.
All right.
The less
you
know,
yeah.
The better. It's not that interesting.
All right.
So the Peace Festival started, and probably one of the highlights we were talking about today is instead of having a Peach Festival queen, they have a Peach Festival grouch. It's the town grouch, and the grouch reigns for a year. This is huge. This is huge. It's unique to the Peach Festival. I think it's fun. But then, of course, all of the other fun things go along with it. There's a dueling chef contest with peach recipes, and there's a... There's peach cuisine to eat, and there's plain peaches you could buy, and there's live music all day in the park. And
what do they do with the pits that makes them so grouchy?
Well, I don't know, but that they're usually some local fellow that's been around for a while. That's the grouch. It's usually and I don't know who the grouch is yet this year, although I think he's crowned tonight. I don't know if he actually gets crowned or how that works when you're a peach. You know, you're a grouch. You're not a queen.
You're not a queen.
Well, you could be a queen, but then
you'd be a grouch at the same time.
That's right.
That's true.
That's right. Double the fun.
Now, are we going tonight to...
We're not going tonight. We're going to go to Downtown Farmers Market in Grand Junction, which has a lot of the same things. There'll be lots of produce there. There'll be entertainment there. There's some vendors there. And we're going to have dinner at a local restaurant that's called 626. The address is the same as the name, which... I don't know why that throws people off, but it does seem to throw people off. 626 Rude, and then 626 on Rude. But they serve a lot of local, you know, it's local recipes with local cuisine is used, so there'll be some peach things to sample in cuisine tonight. And they have it's a beautiful wine bar. So they do have some Colorado wine, but they have wine from everywhere. So it's a nice, very swanky. For Grand Junction, because we have a little bit more of a Western hospitality feel.
Wait. When you say swanky, do you mean I'm going to have to wear something other than a t-shirt?
You might.
Oh, okay.
You might.
Then I'll have to iron something.
Oh, well, I hate when that happens.
Okay. All right.
But the thing is, we'll get you in the door. We'll get you in the door. But you,
no, I have to. I have to.
Yeah, the best part about the Colorado feel is that we really are, it is relaxed. You can get great cuisine, great wine, but you don't have to dress up to go do that. It's this nice casual environment. People are very inviting. They want to know about where you came from and what's going on. And I certainly found that very welcoming, a part of moving here. That was very inviting to me. And I had lived in the South, so the South is really known for its hospitality, and it is. It's very friendly and nice. But I think Colorado was that way as well. See, she's burping now. She's burping beer.
I meant it far.
Oh, well, listen, thanks for the burp, because I'm in close quarters with you right now, and I don't...
Well...
I like you, but I don't know if I like you that much.
Well, with the Mexican food we had,
but that's later.
That's later. That'll come out later, yeah.
She has her own room.
So, now, with this thing with the Peach Festival... I mean, do you have a festival for any other
growth? We do. We have the largest wine... She's out of control. Seriously. We have the largest wine festival in the state. It's hosted in Palisade as well. And that is the Colorado Mountain Wine Fest. It's always the third week of September. So wineries from all over the state come and kind of... You can sip your way through them. And it's a three-day festival. It has a lot of special events attached to it. They do a food and wine pairing and a chocolate and wine pairing, so that's right up your alley. However, it's so popular, they don't run out of tickets. We run out of hotel rooms.
Wow.
Months in advance. A lot of people come every year, and they book the day they're leaving from the year before. So it's a very popular event. That's probably our largest festival here.
So as you say, it's in other words, in terms of growth, around here is the wine or grapes rather, fermented grapes.
Yes, fermented grapes.
Yeah, and peaches are the two things, or
we're known for our peaches. The wine is made probably the peaches have been around longer than the wine,
right.
But I think if you're from Colorado, you're more apt to know that Grand Junction has all the wineries. The Grand Valley houses the majority of wineries in the state. There are other wineries. In the state, we just have the majority of them. So So, but outside of that, like we were talking earlier, the majority of the wine that's produced here is consumed by Colorado people.
Right.
So it doesn't tend to escape outside of the borders a lot.
Right.
Not very much. So so people don't know. It's, you know, Washington's really coming along as this area known outside of California as this great wine country. We're going to be behind that for a few years. We've got some incredibly good wine, but we just keep drinking it all. So it's going to take a while. We need to produce more to get to push it out, to push it out.
Oh,
so I think we're well known within the state that we have all these great wineries here. But, you know, outside of that, I don't think a lot of people know outside of the state.
Now, I'm curious, is there anything particular about the soil or whatever that produces such great peaches?
It is. It's actually more of the climate. I mean, the soil is good, but the climate as well. We have four seasons. We absolutely have a spring, summer, fall, winter. But because we were talking about, you know, the book cliff, which we've now renamed the Jerry Lewis Cliff.
And Bear Cliff. Yeah.
So that mountain range, along with the Grand Mesa, and we talked about that today, you can see that, which is the largest recorded flat top mesa in the world. And then we've got the monument. What it does is it kind of locks in that heat. And so the daytime, it warms up in the valley, warm enough, and then we don't freeze a lot. We've got this warm conditions really kind of help the grapes, but the dirt is drier. So if it's too moist, then the grapes go bad. So it really is our environment that helps grow all these grapes. Now we can't produce every type of wine here, but Merlots and Cabernets and there's a lot of sweet wines. Wines, and I mean, we can do those. So we don't, a Pinot Grigio grape is not, that's a difficult grape to grow here. So that's not to say that people don't make it in their wineries, they just bring in grapes in from the outside. I think you would find that there's some type of wine that you'll like, whether it's the mead or a sweeter wine or a heavy red. There's enough variety that I haven't found someone that's not.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and since we're talking about food, and then I believe that we have our person from the Peach Street Distillers calling in, but let's first take a commercial break.
Italy, Spain, Greece, Turkey, stuff it. We do at Santa Barbara Olive Company. Jalapenos, sun-dried tomatoes, almonds, blue cheese, stuff produced in California. And we stuff some of our cold-pressed olive oils with California garlic and herbs grown right here in our backyard. Our olive oils have been pitted against some of the finest imports, and guess who exceeds in taste tests? Santa Barbara Olive Company. It's the stuff that makes a product great.
He's back. Okay. Let's get him on now. Okay.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, it's Roy from Peach Street.
Hello.
How you doing?
Peach Street Distillers. Who do I got here? Tell everybody who you are.
My name's Rory Donovan. I work here in Palisade at the Peach Street Distillery.
Okay. Now, what you're doing right now is you're making all kinds of booze.
Yeah, we got the full spectrum covered.
All right, I have a question that I want to ask about. We were talking about that we were over there today, and so I want to know what the difference is between like what is gin, what is vodka. I mean, what is the thing you're actually making it from?
Vodka is essentially extremely purified alcohol, cut with extremely purified water to 80 proof, generally speaking. Gin is actually, you know, for all intents and purposes, the first flavored vodka. Basically, vodka is a neutral spirit. And gin is a neutral spirit that has been infused with a recipe of botanicals to give it character and flavor.
So in other words, when they say Vodka isn't necessarily made from potatoes?
No, certainly not. You can make vodka from basically any kind of alcohol base. It's just a matter of how labor intensive and how thoroughly, you know, you distill it. You could make vodka from grain, from grapes, from fruit, from, you know, just about anything.
And you're making it from what?
We're using a grain recipe. Part of it is a local variety of corn called Olathe sweet corn that, you know, it's a really unique hybrid of corn grown here locally that, you know, we're proud to use as a primary ingredient. But it's overall, it's a grain-based spirit, barley, wheat, and corn.
So are you using the same thing for gin, or are you using something different? Is it a different grain or for gin?
We use that same grain alcohol as a base, but then we use a proprietary recipe, if you will, of botanicals, which include some local stuff, certainly Western Slope juniper that we handpick here in the Grand Valley. And, you know, several other kind of standard botanicals for a lot of gins, and then we got a couple special ones we throw in there, too. So.
Now, then you also have brandy.
So yeah, we have a pretty broad selection of fruit brandies, ranging from grape brandies, you know, which would be similar to like a cognac-style kind of thing, as well as local fruit stuff, being peaches, pears, apricots, cherries, we have a kirsch. And then we also have a couple grappas as well, which is kind of fun. It's definitely a niche market. You know, people who like grappa love it, and people who don't certainly don't. But
so with brandy, what is the base of brandy?
Brandy, actually, the word comes from the Netherlands for, you know, Dutch for burnt wine. And basically any alcohol that has a fruit base or starts from fruit is considered a wine. You know, any alcohol or any alcoholic beverage, you know, that comes from grain, you know, this is a loose interpretation, but would be considered a beer. So essentially, whiskey is derived from a beer, you know, and again, this is a loose sense of the term, but brandy is derived from wine. So brandy's fruit-based, and whiskey, sometimes vodka, tends to be grain-based, beer-based.
And so right now, because of the Peach Festival, that's why you have the... You have a peach brandy, you have a peach vodka, right?
Yep, we sure do. We actually have two different versions of a peach brandy. We have a three-year-old brandy that we made from local peaches that we aged in a French oak barrel. And then we actually have what's called an eau de vie, which is an un-oaked fruit brandy that is also pretty interesting, and again, it's made with the same local peaches. And then, like you mentioned, we have the peach vodka, which is kind of a hit this time of year with the festival and everything. And what we do with that is we take local fruit and we infuse it, we macerate it into our vodka, and then we actually run it through the still after that, so it's a clear product, but it harnesses a lot of the peach essence.
So I'm just curious. Let's just took some peaches and when you say when they're fermented, like peaches, it means like it's just like rotting. I mean, what actually ferments something? Like it's getting that old and.
But basically, fermentation describes the process of yeast consuming sugar. What happens? Yeast is a living organism. It eats sugar and turns into alcohol. So what you do, you have something that has sugar in it, i.e. peaches, and, you know, we remove the stones, the pits, and we kind of make a slurry out of it, and then we put a Chardonnay yeast, and then we do a second dosing of yeast, but I don't want to make this too confusing. I apologize. But we put yeast on it, and over the course of about, I don't know, 4 to 7 days, the yeast will multiply and consume all the available sugar in the peaches, resulting in a solution or a slurry, if you will, of about a 7 to 9% alcohol. You know, which in theory, because it's fruit based, would be called a wine. Although, you know, again, we use the term loosely because our wine's meant for distilling. It's fairly crude. You wouldn't want to drink it. It's kind of, you know, it has whole peaches in it. But and then we take that and we run it through the still, and that's how you make brandy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I tell you, that taste, tasting that brandy, I mean, whew, that's alcohol.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a spirit, that's for sure. You know?
Right. But for me, as a pretty much, I would call myself a non-drinker. As a non-drinker, I mean, it's probably harsher to my throat than someone who's used to drinking, you know, because like, you know, it's always like a thing, like to sip brandy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and when it comes to sipping brandy casually, you know, it's more of a tasting situation than a drinking situation, if you know
right.
What I mean, in which you can enjoy those flavors and stuff without necessarily, you know, if you consume it in small quantities and in the right environment, you know, you're not looking at the alcohol side of it as much as you are the flavor side.
I also want to ask you about this, the brand, it's Goat Vodka, is that the name of your brand, or?
Yep, Goat is the name of our vodka, and it's a concept my partner came up with, and honestly, we're just trying to keep all our brands identified with the theme of agriculture here on the western slope of Colorado.
Okay, because I wondered, when I first looked on the website, I wondered if you're using goat milk or something.
No.
And thank goodness.
No goat milk.
Yeah. And how long is this? How long have you been there? Have you been
there? We are three. We've been in operation for 3 years this month. You know, we've been working on the project considerably longer than that, but I think August 22nd is when we hung the license on the wall and really started, you know, our production.
Mm-hmm. Just so my audience knows, it's not that the Peach Street Distillers is in Palisades versus Grand Junction. So I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, Palisade is just, it's, you know, there's the town of Palisade, and then, you know, Palisades actually refers to this end of the valley. You know, I don't know that, I mean, basically everything on this side of the valley, in my mind, is Palisade.
So, now, are you participating in the Peach Festival?
Certainly. I mean, we won't be down at the park because of licensing stuff and because it's, you know, they're trying to promote a family affair down there. You know, there's a lot of stuff for kids and that kind of thing. But we are just a couple blocks from the park. And, you know, every year the crowd seems to grow bigger and bigger over here at the distillery during the Peach Fest. So we've been looking forward to it all summer.
Oh, so they kind of know that you're there. Because everybody knows it as a family kind of thing. They go, well, but let's get some booze. Let's go over to your place, you know, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But do you tend to I'm not sure of any of the other crops that you grow, any other fruits that you grow. I know, like, you know, I'm getting that, you know, peaches and grapes. Is there any other particular fruits that are grown in this area and that you turn around and make, you know, some kind of liquor out of it?
Certainly. I think that you're right in saying that the peaches and the grapes are the primary cash crops. But there's a tremendous amount of apples and pears. weather providing. Like this year, for instance, was a bumper crop with the apricots and the cherries. Last year they had a bit of a freeze out, but the year before that was really good also. And then there's also a couple varieties of plums and figs and some other neat stuff too. So.
Okay, so because I think, oh, you also mentioned you make a pear. What was it? Not a pear brandy. Is that what you make?
No, oh, yeah, we make a pear brandy. In fact, we even we got out earlier this year in the spring, and we went up to a friend of ours' giant pear orchard, and we put about 4 or 5 bottles on each tree in the whole orchard and grew pears inside the bottles. They're coming along pretty nicely, and we'll probably harvest them mid-September at the latest, maybe even early September, and we'll put a year-old pear brandy in them at that time, and then we'll have them available here at the distillery for you know, Christmas presents and that kind of thing.
Well, hopefully I'll be able to taste one of those one time. I know, like, it's interesting. And when I was in Italy, the whole that there was lemons.
And yeah, the limoncello is huge
yeah.
over there for sure.
And it's specifically the lemons there that are different from what we have here that makes the limoncello so good. It just, you know, take fruit and ferment it and get drunk on it. That's best.
Not necessarily get drunk, make
well,
merry.
That's just, I'm very, I easily do. It's just, probably, I don't know whether I'm allergic to alcohol. It just goes to my head real quick.
But, well, it's the altitude.
Yeah. But, it's the altitude and the attitude, too, both. But, is there anything else you want to share with us about what you do? Or?
You know, I would just like to extend an open invitation to anybody out there who makes it through this area to come check us out. And I want to say thank you to you for coming by and talking with us and having me on your show.
Great. Yeah, I'll probably talk to you some more. You know, when I'm writing the articles, I'll probably give you a call.
Yeah, actually,
I'll
make sure I get you some samples out there so you can enjoy them at sea level.
Okay, that's fine with me. All right,
hey,
great.
Thanks again.
Have a nice evening. Thanks for talking with us. And have a drink on me.
Thanks a bunch.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to, I'm really interested in trying the, a pear brandy. I like the way pears, go in with alcohol. I find pear maybe has a stronger pear flavor than peach has a peach flavor, but I think from what I understand, the flavor of the fruits are better when it's a fruit that is more, sugary. So the sugars are coming out because with the, you're not adding sugar. So you're getting the flavor coming out, but stronger if it's sugar. Hey, why not? You know, I just came across a vodka that they add caffeine to. Would you believe it? But anyway, so all right, time for rather a commercial break again. I'm in the mood for music. Actually, I want you to hear something. Because I got this CD from a jazz singer, Sophie Millman. You could be out there going, oh, I know Sophie Millman. And I'm like, I don't know who she is. But, and so I just uploaded one of her songs. So listen to this. But eventually I'm going to have her on my show. But so here's one of her songs here. Let's go. I clicked it. I'll try again.
When I love
Next week. But hey, just, you know, just the old Google, Sophie Milman, M-I-L-M-A-N. Sounds pretty good, I think so. Hopefully you guys will think so also. And but of course, like, it is a commercial, so, you know, I gotta get them in, And his okay. We haven't done this you know, a lot talking about food, so let's do another food.
This program is brought to you by M&S Italian Food Specialists, the official caterers for the crew of Lydia's Family Table, which can be seen on PBS. M&S is located at 34-23 Francis Lewis Boulevard in Bayside, Queens. There, you'll find over 100 different types of cheeses, store-made sausages, fresh meats, as well as great salads and sandwiches. Choose fully cooked items from the deli area, or just tell Joe what you're interested in preparing. M&S carries a full line of imported groceries for all your cooking needs. Call them at 718-353-8318. A family business for over 50 years.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of food we're going to eat tonight, but, yeah, that's in about an hour from now, I think, that we have scheduled to eat. Yeah, wait, 15 minutes has gone by. I'm feeling a little weak. There's no food in here. I guess I'll have another sip of... This is High Mountain Huckleberry. Now, I thought I had the name of the brewing company I went to. I guess it was mentioned, but I'm not sure that they make it, because this says It says Jackson Hole Soda Company. So I'm not clear if they actually make these sodas, they do make the beers. And I left the beers in the car. Hopefully they won't get drunk up by some of the other people on this press trip. You just heard that soda come up again. So I'm in a music mood today. And we have a little while before our next guest comes on, and so I wanted.
Are you ready for some football?
How did she get here? Did my cat get on the plane with me? I don't understand. Mallory, are you hiding in here somewhere? You know, there's no reason for me to touch this thing now. I just turned my head just for a second and then over.
Are you ready for some football?
All right, that's enough. That's it. Now I saw you. You can stay at home. I can't believe that. What did you do? Did you get into my bag or something? You're not talking. Well, yeah, now, later you'll probably talk. You'll talk, you know, when I, you know, you'll come in the room, yeah, and you're hiding in the corner now. I don't know about you, but, all right, you know what, let's hear a little, another one. Oh, I haven't done Josh Groban in a while. Oh, yeah. I'm doing a little Josh Groban right now. Yeah.
Through the darkness, I can see your light, and you will always shine, and I can feel your heart in mine. Your face I've memorized, I idolize just you. I look up to everything you are. In my eyes you do know. And after all is said and done, you're still you, after all, you're still you. You walk past me, one truth always stays the same. You're still you, after all, you're still you. And I
All right, let's go back on again. Yeah. Hi, Josh Groban. You like Josh Groban?
I do.
Yeah. But I saved the commercial. She ducked out, by the way, in case, you know.
I did. I took a break.
Yeah, that's okay. She probably went out for a beer.
Yeah, that's later. Shot of tequila.
Oh, okay. But I saved this commercial for you because this is the cutest one. I'm trying to see if I can get them to do another one. This is JetBlue. And I'm trying to see if I can get them to do another one because I keep playing this all the time. And I want to.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling, JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue. Based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Is that thing?
I love
true.
It. I think it's fabulous.
I know.
It's a really great, there's still some really dull commercials out there, but there's some really funny, hilarious commercials, which really get your attention. I'm sorry, we're inundated with messages, so
right.
To hear something or see something that's humorous, you're more apt to remember it.
Oh, of course. That's
yeah.
Why I have to call them. I want to see if they have another one that's...
Yeah.
Well, actually, I keep forgetting because I should try that when I go, you know, go back home.
That's right.
About answering the... and just see what happens. Face and see what kind of answer that they give me on United.
Oh, well, they're not very funny.
No, they're not.
But,
no.
Yeah.
No, not quite. But I'm waiting for and this woman's name is Sabine Bendenoun.
Sabine Bendenoun. Right.
That's the person that I met on the plane.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah. Poor innocent random stranger Merle is talking to on the plane. This is why people don't make eye contact on the plane. Right here, because Merle could be sitting next to you. I think that's great. It's probably really interesting.
Well, this guy, did I talk about the guy with the band?
No. Like the band, like music band?
Music band.
Okay.
So
like a lap band or something. Verifying, I'm just verifying. It's a lap band. Sorry.
As we're getting off the plane, this guy turns to this couple and says something about, we're getting off the plane, this was in Denver, off the plane in Denver. And he says to this couple, how would you like to come and see my show tonight? And they would say, oh, sure, or whatever. And he said, and apparently it's his brother who's performing. So I just turned to him and said, hey, you want to be on my radio show? So I gave him my card and... It's Rhythm and Blues. That's all I got.
Okay.
And I'm going to get a hold of him. I'll upload a song, and we'll kind of listen. What the heck?
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't this fun?
That's great.
Strange people.
Strange people.
You know, yeah, why not?
Present company included. And I mean that about myself as well.
So now who are we meeting? Now we're meeting somebody else. From tourism. Who are we meeting?
Today or tomorrow?
It's tomorrow.
We're going to meet Leif Johnson, who's the executive director of the Palisade Chamber of Commerce. A complete hoot is the only word that I can use. Full of energy and lust for life. He's a great guy and really, he's unassuming because I think he has vision, but you just don't gather that from him. That if you look at his past history of work, he's doing something right. I mean, he really can pull people together that wouldn't normally want to play in the same playground together. So he's great. And then I believe you're meeting my executive director, which is Debbie Kovalik, who's been the executive director of our bureau here for 18 years.
She started when she was 12. She'll tell you that.
Oh, okay.
But she's amazing. No, she's amazing. She really created the whole Colorado wine
country.
She
is today?
She is here today.
Tell her to come in.
Okay, I'll see if I
tell
can
her to come in.
All right. You entertain
yourself. Yeah, just, you know, twist her off. Bring her in. Okay. Yeah, why not? Yeah, what the hey, you know? They don't have to know. I won't even tell if she's on the radio. I'm just going to tell her to come in. Have a little conversation here. Let her, you know, introduce herself. Everybody should have their 5 minutes of fame, 10 minutes, 15 minutes of fame, whatever. I mean, I'm sure as I said before, but that
I'm sure she went to a meeting.
She went to a meeting. You know, they all say that.
I know.
Every time I call somebody up on the phone,
they're at a meeting. That's why I know.
But you know what? I hate this. I hate when they do this. I go. I'll answer the phone. I'll say, can I speak to, let's say, Ann Schman?
Yeah.
Ann
Schman. So it's a common name, Ann Schman.
And so what happens is the person is, and I'll say, is Ann Schman there? And there'll be this pause, and they'll say, who's calling? And then I give my name. And then it's like saying to me, she's in a meeting. Now it's like, fuck you, man. I mean, you asked me my name. Obviously, you think I'm stupid? The person said, tell her I'm in a meeting.
That's right.
Who is that? I don't know who it is.
You need to make up something. You need to make up something that they just can't refuse. Like, for me, it would probably be Brad Pitt. But for others, it might be Angelina Jolie. I get that. But you need to go with that. Go to
I that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Or something really ridiculous, like they can't pronounce, like Fatima, like Sabine's name.
Oh, yeah.
Fatima.
Sabine, yeah.
Hukilala. I don't even know. I can't even think of anything. But
yeah,
something really
random. Who lives in Igor Kramany?
That's right. That's right. Really, they have to ask a few times, and they're like, never mind, I'll just put you through.
Yeah.
Or you like the lottery sweepstake person that goes out and gives them the money. Because they would put you through, wouldn't they?
That's true.
It is. I mean, sure, it's false, but you got through, didn't you?
Yeah, that's the way to do
as
it.
As I'm giving all the secrets to the salespeople that I screen my calls with right now, just got the secret messages how to get through to me. Because my response is when we have, you know, sometimes they call in the direct line to my office. But they also go through the front office as well. So the front office person will call me and say, someone's on the line. And I'll say, ugh, I really don't want to talk to that person right now. Will you please tell them I'm busy? Which is obviously I'm not busy because I'm sitting at my desk going to that call. But, yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible. I don't know.
Actually, it bothers me when they say, take the person, take a name, and I'll call her back. And then they don't call back.
Yeah. I'm actually really good about calling back.
But I have a thing. You know, I go, oh, okay. They must have forgotten. I'll call again.
Well, how long did you give them, though?
About an hour.
Oh, that is a bit short. Yeah, that's a bit short.
Okay, no. It depends on what it is.
Okay. Then you're just annoying
the
and they'll call
day.
You back.
By the end of the day.
And the West were a little bit more relaxed, so you might go a half day or maybe the next morning.
Well, when something's a deadline kind of
right,
a thing,
or
I need to know by the end of the day, if
right.
you haven't called me, then it's not going to help for me to talk to you the next day because, you know, it's not working right. So it's like I called somebody and I said, I need something. I need you to send me something while you're in New York. And now, you know, so the person didn't call me back and he's going to have to send it to me from California. So I was like, fine. But if you were, you know, if you bothered to call me back or take the call, you would have been able to, you know, get it out, in New York.
It was true, and I think because you work in a business, and I do as well. Mine's advertising placement, deadline oriented. But yours is, you know, deadline oriented, and you've got a story that you need to produce or a radio show to do, so you need the answer.
Right.
So it is very deadline oriented, but it's very interesting in other venues of where people work and where, like, culturally how it works as well. Like, how quick you respond. Like, I remember I worked for a company where all of the distributors were 2 hours ahead of us. So by the time you got in the office at 7:30 or 8, everyone else had been working for 2 hours. So they were just, go, 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 go. Or when I lived in the South, and God bless you, Southerners. I love you. I miss living there. I miss drinking sweet tea every day. But you do not return. You do not expect a call back for at least 24 hours. And I remember having to change that mindset, you know, when I lived there. I'd call and I'd think, well, I want to know this right now. And I would go into my boss and say, God, I still haven't gotten a call back. He said, well, when did you call? I said, well, this morning. He goes, tomorrow. Maybe the next day. I said, you're kidding. How does anything get done? So it's mindset. It depends on what you do, and you know.
So maybe actually, when I call somebody, I should say, "Is Joe Schmo in for me?"
You could say that. Yes.
And they'll say, "What do you mean?" I'll say, "Well, this is Merle Exit. I want to know if Joe Schmo is in for me. That you know, that if he's going to decide that he's not in when
right.
he finds out who I am."
Right.
I just put it right out there. And plus to the poor person answering the damn phone. What are they going to say?
Those are younger people that are usually, not always, but sometimes younger people answering the phone. You can kind of bluff your way through and just surprise them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of situations, because a lot of it, I don't think I'm, a lot of places that I'm calling big offices, where you don't know if the person's at their desk or not, or the
person is, you know,
I mean, if you have, the situation, you have a lot of cubicles.
Right.
A lot of little rooms.
Right.
So it's not clear. I mean, you may be in, but you may not be at your desk.
Correct. And that's often the case.
So
like I'm in town.
And the person who's answering the phone, the basic,
right.
you have one person.
Right. We do.
We have
one main person.
So that one main person knows that you're here today, but doesn't know you stepped away from your desk.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's legitimate. But when you're talking, you know, about a place that you obviously know where people are, and if they're sitting there, like the person sitting right in front of you.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Well, she stepped away from a desk right now, and it's like, you're so full of shit, man. You're staring right at her.
But yeah, but sometimes I think that is true, because I think I'm in the building, but I could be in the loo, could be in the toilet, or
right.
I could be in a meeting in someone's office or in our conference room. So now you're just thinking that everyone's always lying to you. You're getting paranoid now.
Yeah.
But sometimes it actually is the
yeah.
truth.
Yeah, no,
I realize sometimes it's true,
you know,
yeah.
but sometimes it sounds just, you know, a little too phony, you know, but sometimes,
yeah.
and I can, you know, but I have to try when I call saying something,
yeah.
so that, you know, to
are
talk
they
to
in
them.
For me?
Yeah.
Are they
in for me?
Right.
When I give my name,
will they take my call?
Yes.
Or maybe you should just warn them. Will they take my call now, or will I need to call them back on the hour of every hour?
Yeah.
You're being upfront, right? You're telling them right up front how that's going to play out. And if
yes.
they don't respond, you'll be sorry. Yeah, I have used that method.
But see, the other thing that I realize is that sometimes when I'm calling for something, that what is that the thing I'm calling for may not be someone's priority of things that they have to do and get done.
Of course.
Okay.
I think that's often the case. They're not meant maliciously. That's
right.
often
it's
the case.
It's just not the priority. And
yeah.
so what happens is that I will call or I'll email back again because my feeling is they probably, you know, I don't think they got lost.
Right.
But I think they probably forgot that I called and that need to get back to me. Or that I emailed and I need an answer.
Right.
And so, you know, so I'll follow it up again and I'll say, did you receive my email? You know, just, you know, if they can say no and then just, you know, and they say, oh, okay, so that's why you don't know that I, whatever, you know. Or, but you know, that's, but I realize, I mean, I've been waiting for weeks. I have these two shows on Broadway. I'm supposed to get, one of them is one of the actors, and the other one is, I think, the director of the show. And this is forever going on. I'm getting emails maybe next week, maybe now, you know,
yeah.
we'll get whatever. You know, so at this point, my feeling is they got caught up in something else, and they probably forgot. So I'm leaving an email alone. And on Monday, when I get, you know, back to New York, on Monday, I'm just going to call and say, tell me, you know, what's doing with this. are we going to go through, are we going to have the interviews, or, you know, you can say no. I'll say it.
Yeah.
It's fine with, you know, if you say
no,
then that's okay.
Yeah, no worries. I've got other places I'll go to get that. I thought they'd be told no and maybe be temporarily disappointed than being kind of yanked along for a while.
Yes.
I'd much rather be. But there is a different style here where, you know, you'll continue to call, and it's the whole northern piece where you're like, well, did you get my message? Whereas I'd be like, this is a western thing. Sorry to keep bugging you, but did you happen to get that message? Because we're like so nice about it, where the northern is like very direct, which is great because you get business done much quicker, where we're almost apologetic about bothering them, even though secretly we're seething because we need the information. This is really interesting style. Secretly, we're all creating an ulcer within ourselves because we're not like saying it the way it should be said.
Yeah. You were out drunk last night, and yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That's why you're not in early today. You know?
Yeah, that's really what should
be
said.
But you're not
dead.
Yeah, we know that, but I'm going to be nice about it anyway. But so I have a feeling that we must have lost.
I think we lost
the beam.
Her. Yeah.
Because I guess it's well, hopefully she was in the middle of an interview or something, and she can always call.
Environmental study.
So you know what I'm gonna end the show early. And by the way, the water here is fine.
I'm thrilled.
Now,
were you concerned? Because we have indoor plumbing too, you know, Merle. Were you worried? Were you impressed that we had transportation that was non-horse-oriented? I don't know. There's a misperception.
Now, this is not bottled water?
Nope.
What is this? This is tap.
Tap?
Now, this is written on. It doesn't have a... what do you do? Is it filtered? Is it
the
area?
Well, sure. It's processed. Sure. I mean, we've got a water plant. I don't know the process of that. I'm in tourism, damn it. I don't know the answer to that, but... she's so inquisitive, this one. I don't have the answers to everything. I'm not the seeing eye.
We
have a water plant. We have a city-oriented water plant that, you know, processes that water. But we do, really, we have pretty natural
water.
No, I'm
saying you do a pretty good job. I mean,
yeah.
You can sell this stuff. I swear to God.
Okay.
You can really sell. Not even say spring water. Just whatever the file. Grand Junction water and sell it and bottle it up because it tastes like what water should taste like. Nothing. It should have a taste.
It should quench your
thirst.
Quench your thirst,
right.
Even after the
soda.
I'm glad to see that you've gotten off the beer now. You're now drinking water. I was a little concerned about your well-being.
So, all right. So let's end this early so this way we can... we're feeling a little weak, aren't we?
Yeah, I need to go.
So
for
we
sure.
Sure,
for sure, yeah, we do.
So we're going to end early here. And,
well, thank you for having me. And we'll try to keep you happy while you're here.
Oh, yeah. And not next week because I may have a full week of stuff. But at some point in a couple of weeks, I'll get back. We'll do the show
love to,
again.
Yeah, love to.
To talk about, you know, what I've done. And my reaction
okay.
to everything.
Okay, great.
And get some of the other fools to come on the radio and
fantastic
and talk. So where's my show ending here? So I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. I'll be out in Long Island next week at the Danford Inn and be doing the show there. Here it is. Click it again. Try it again. There we go. One more time. Say hello to everyone. Say goodbye to everyone.
oh, you're the host of the show. I understand.